an interview with ABC News' This Week programme on Sunday, Representative Adam Kinzinger, an Illinois Republican who also sits on the House Committee, said during Cipollone's interview, at no point was there any contradiction of what anybody said, referring to other witnesses who have testified before the House panel. In an interview on Saturday, 9th of July, with MSNBC's The Katie Fang Show, Donald Trump's niece, Mary Trump, said the former president is terrified following Pat Cipollone's interview with the committee. I think this might be the first time in his entire life that even he can't deny that the walls may indeed be closing in, Mary Trump said. She added, the amount of evidence that we've seen coming out of these committee hearings is overwhelming. But even more troubling for him is the witnesses are now coming forward are increasingly important in terms of access and in terms of their positions in his administration, and they're unimpeachable. So it is not at all surprising that Donald Trump would pull his punches when it comes to Pat Cipollone. The former president's niece, Mary Trump, added, to say that Donald is terrified is accurate and also an understatement. I think this might be the first time in his entire life that even he can't deny that the walls may indeed be closing in.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. For today's discussion, discussing the important topic, Imam Ali's role in establishing unity among the Muslims, regardless of the denomination, I have two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Brother Habib. Brother Habib, salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Very welcome to this show. And Shaykh Rouhani, salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is the topic, Imam Ali's role in establishing unity among Muslims. Brother Habib, let's start with you. How the personality of Imam Ali can establish unity among all Muslims around the world?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. To understand the importance of this topic, first of all, one has to understand what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, first of all, established. Then what Imam Ali, Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, saved as a whole, as
very
a
good.
Nation.
Very good.
It's very important to understand that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, throughout the 23 years of his prophethood,
yes,
he placed the important, let's say, bases and pillars of a strong Islamic government, ideology, and society altogether. where the Prophet ﷺ would go into the deepest of details in everyday lives,
yes,
including how high the wall should be built inside of society.
Yes.
That the wall should not be built if there was trees. Why? So that the people that were walking can eat from the fruits that they wanted.
Yes.
So it's to that point. The Prophet ﷺ built this Islamic religion with the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is still alive till this day. It is still something of Zayn.
Yes.
It's something that we want to protect. It's something that we want to defend. And that is from the, that could be considered one miracle for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way that he based the life, the Islamic society, how he started from nothing.
Yes.
And it became one of the strongest states available at the time.
That's right.
So Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, during his time where he was wrongfully put aside,
yes,
from being the true successor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was defending something very big,
mm-hmm,
and very important, and it had just had become stable, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. As he passed away,
yes,
after Hajjatul Wada,
yes,
which,
yes,
was the last pilgrimage to the Hajj.
Yes.
So Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam's role was very important,
yes,
in defending, you know, this idea. The first
so you mean, although Imam Ali alayhi salam was not for 25 hours in the official power seat,
yes,
but he had safeguarded the Islamic values.
And that goes back to the knowledge of Amir al-Mu'minin,
uh-huh,
alayhi salam.
Okay.
The characteristics that he had to become the true caliph, the true successor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And that is why Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam is the light stone of the continuation of the religion of the Prophet sallallahu, mm-hmm, alaihi wa sallam after his demise.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Habib. Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, let's get to you, brother. How do you answer this question, Imam Ali's role in establishing unity among all Muslims?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we look at the life of Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wassalam, so first of all, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was like a great, we can say, a kind of great soldier, a hero among the army of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I think since the Muslim Ummah was united at the time of the Prophet, so Imam Ali's role after the demise of the Holy Prophet is very much important to understand that what role he played to unite Muslim Ummah or to keep this unity among Muslim Ummah. We know that Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi wasallam was a legitimate caliph and successor for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But despite this fact, Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi wasallam kept silent. For what? To unite Muslim Ummah. So for many years, for more than two decades, Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi wasallam did not do anything regarding this legitimate position that he deserved. This is, I think, one of the great lessons that we can take from Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi wasallam, that due to the importance of unity of Muslim Ummah, he kept silent.
Okay.
I think this is really important.
Although in some phrases of the Nahjul Balagha, we could find that he is complaining about being neglected of his own right. You know?
Actually, I want to kind of, you know, just take a deeper look at that.
Okay,
Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, if he found the correct amount to go and take back,
yes,
what was rightly his,
yes,
he would have done it.
Yes.
But the thing is that the Ummah, the nation itself,
yes,
turned on Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam.
Yes.
We have it in Kitab Sulaym ibn al-Qais,
yes, yes,
that he used to bring Al-Hasan al-Husayn and,
yes,
take Sayyidina Zahra alayhi salam and would tell people to get ready to, you know, shave your heads and get ready for a battle.
Yes.
To take back what's truly mine,
mm-hmm,
and what's truly the Islamic Ummah's, because we lost.
Yes.
We're the ones that we lost out without Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam being the caliph. So I think that the fact that Amir al-Mu'minin stayed quiet right away is not the true reality of it. The reality of it is that he did not find anyone.
Yes.
And he was either going to, you know, be against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's order that if you do not find anyone to aid,
yes,
you, stay quiet.
Yes.
Or to, you know, just stay quiet altogether.
Okay.
And it will cause chaos between the Islamic Ummah,
yes,
and there were the Roman Empire at the time,
mm-hmm,
was kind of afraid of the
yes,
was, you know, became afraid of the Islamic Empire because,
okay,
of its strength.
That's right. Also, there have been so many lessons in his silence, I think, because on that time the Ummah in 25 years could see that how the Islamic values have been deviated from the right path, isn't it?
That's why when he returned to his rightful place,
yes,
the first thing that we look at the Khutb Nahj al-Balagha, the ceremonies,
yes,
of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, the lectures that he had, he would always state this, that the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one.
Yes.
Do not take with ara, with your own thinking.
Yes.
Do not take with your own qiyas.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Do not, you know, say this is the religion of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent only one religion. He did not send multiple religions so that you can claim and say whatever this and that.
Okay.
So that's something that he stayed quiet and all this was changing.
That's
he had no other choice. That's okay. Something I want to emphasize on.
That's right, bro. Okay, Sheikh.
You know, the important point is that imamah and prophethood is a kind of divine position. Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced the prophet to the ummah, to the people. Sometimes the people might welcome the prophet, sometimes not.
Okay.
So the prophets never use, for example, army or force.
Yes.
To pressurize the people to follow them.
Mm-hmm.
Same was the case with Amir al-Mu'minin. Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi wasallam was introduced by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam
by his divine order.
Of course, by the divine order.
Yes.
And the people did know his position that he deserved. Right. But he did not actually wage war against the Muslims to take this position by sword, by army, no. Mm-hmm. This is what we say that Imam kept silent.
That's right.
So
in this way, Imam Ali alayhi salam's mission is the continuation of the Rasul, I mean the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the values that Imam Ali alayhi salam is to safeguard, I think, is beyond the borders of Islam. They are very much getting into the divine goals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from day one to the day of judgment has created, isn't it?
It is, and that is why there are many instances that caliphs at the time would return to Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, whether it be it for Islamic rulings, for Sharia law, whether it be it for example, advice into war, how to enter war, and how to, you know, return victorious, what is safer to do.
Yes.
There are various instances available, and one could return to the Sunni references, without the Shia references if you want. And just look up this word.
Yes.
لَوْلَا عَلِيٌ لَهَلَكَ عُمَرٌ لَا أَبْقَانِيَ اللَّهُ مَا لَمْ يَبْقَ عَلِيًا.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, there's this reality that they had, that they knew they were not the best to be the true successors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like how the Sheikh stated, that this is a divine position.
Mm-hmm.
This position, as long as it's divine, it's supposed to be put up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not a shura. If they state that amruhum shura baynahum, that's between us, not between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and us.
Yes, that's all right. So how again, in today's world, I mean, we have the majority of the Muslims today who are not Shiites, who do not believe in Imam Ali alayhi salam as Imam, okay? They believe in him as a caliph. But if you want to benefit from this great personality, what would be the way? What would be, the true guiding lines for them?
Before answering your question, one important point I should refer in this part is that once the people came to Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, once the people referred to him and actually, we can say, even you forced him to become a caliph because the people rushed towards his house. And in that case, when he became a caliph and ruling over Muslims, of course, in that time of his life, in that part of his life, he had this responsibility to defend this position.
Mm-hmm.
In that time, when the other people, when the other groups of, for example, Ashab or the other people, when they fought against Amir al-Mu'minin, they were illegitimate.
Okay.
So since Amir al-Mu'minin had this legitimate position, he had to defend himself and this position and Islam.
That's
so maybe some of the people might think that Imam Ali alayhi wasalam was a kind of symbol of disagreement among Muslims because of those wars.
Okay.
But these wars were not the war that Imam Ali alayhi wasalam waged. No.
Yes.
The others came and claimed against Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi wasalam. So he had this responsibility to defend.
That's right.
So otherwise...
So what was this value system that Imam Ali was after? Up to an extent that he opposed most of the faithful companions and ashab of Prophet Muhammad. This is the question. Now, some might criticize Imam Ali's position and decisions that why, for example, you took part in a war against companions of the Prophet or ashab or this and that. I mean, what was this value system?
Talking about the unity of Islam altogether, Imam Ali alayhi salam put both his sons, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, the beloved grandchildren of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to defend the doors of Uthman.
Very good.
When they were trying to attack Uthman, and because of what Uthman did himself with his own hands, and it was Talha and Zubayr who came and first started off the allegiance with Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. And then what happens? Talha and Zubayr come together and they come and want to
blame Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam and the followers of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam for the killing of Uthman.
Yes.
And they start a war in Basra.
Yes.
Even brought water to Uthman.
Yes.
And tied up with Karbala. One of the reasons why they stated they did not bring water to Imam Hussein alayhi salam was because they because Uthman died thirsty and they're taking the revenge of Uthman on behalf of the son of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. And it was Amir al-Mu'minin who brought water towards Uthman, for Uthman.
That's right.
So that's an oppression for Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. That's a lesson for us to take, that Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam said, okay, no problem, leave this all alone.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is the unity of us Muslims.
Yes.
The importance of it is that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high. We should not be weak in the eyes of our enemies.
Yes.
And that's something we should take.
That's all right. Okay, Shaykh, enumerate some of the values that Imam Ali alayhi salam was after. I mean, for revival after 25 years when he got to the power seat.
Of course, one of the very important thing that Imam Ali alayhi salam was looking after was this, that to bring back the true and the real Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, some of the values were changed. This was one of the really important things that Imam Ali mm-hmm. Actually felt, that he had this responsibility to bring back the true Islam, the true message of Islam. One of the problem was this, that at the time of the caliphs, mm-hmm. it seems that there was a kind of tribal understanding or reading of Islam,
okay.
You know, based on tribal values, mm-hmm. or let's say ethnical values. This was really the biggest problems that the people had.
You mean again getting back to the Jahiliyyah period?
The Jahiliyyah, of course.
Okay. Where Arabs were better than non-Arabs, and this Arab tribe is better than Arab tribe.
Okay.
And it's talking about the Iranians, kind of, you know, sensitive to you guys, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, you see that, that's why Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam tried his best to reform those kind of things that happened in the history of Islam. That's why you see that among the companions of Amir al-Mu'minin, the very close friends and followers and companions of him, they are non-Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, this was a great lesson that we take from Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi wasallam. It was the true tradition and sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he dealt with, treated Salman al-Farsi, Abadhar, and I don't know, for example, Bilal al-Habashi and the other great figures in the history of Islam. But when it comes to the Amir al-Mu'minin, we see that the same thing happened at his time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very important lesson that we can take from Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi wasallam, because at the time of Amawids and Abbasids, again, unfortunately, this kind of changes happened to the value, to the Islamic values. And at the time of Amawis, you see that the marriage of, for example, an Arab with non-Arab was a kind of, was considered a very kind of severe and bad kind of action that could be performed by an Arab. So, but all the infallible Imams and Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and the other Imams, you see, they all married non-Arabs.
Yes.
So their wives were non-Arabs.
Yes.
So this was one of the really important lessons that you can take from Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salatu wasalam, that is categorically opposed to any kind of racism or fascism that we had at the Amawi time and the Abbasid times.
Okay.
For today, even for nowadays Muslims and non-Muslims, it could be a great lesson that you can take from Amir al-Mu'minin Ahl Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam.
What about you, Brother Habib?
I want to add first, and I'll say
very
what
good.
I wanted. The Iranians at the time,
The Persians
during the time, they would, you know, they were living in different levels.
Yeah, hierarchy.
High ranks. Yeah. And there was a level where they would not see, not the king,
mm-hmm.
not the guards of the king, not the guards of the guards.
Yes.
They would not see the family members of the guards.
Okay.
They were in such a high position.
Mm-hmm.
Like how my brother stated, Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam broke this. How?
Mm-hmm.
By sitting with them.
Mm-hmm.
When a Persian looking at the king, this is the ruler of a state, sitting next to me, eating with me.
Yes.
Like how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam used to sit down with the abid.
Very good.
With the slaves. And he would sit down and eat and talk and, you know, live his normal life with them.
Yes. So really, again, Imam Ali alayhi salam,
the humbleness that he
yes,
had.
Yes, yes.
The humbleness that he had.
Very good.
Really just rose, made the people connected with him more.
Mm-hmm.
And made people connected with his religion more. That is why we see very much Persian, most of the Persians are usually like Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam more
mm-hmm.
than the Arabs, because the Arabs, you know, Amir al-Mu'minin killed most of their heroes and warriors.
Okay.
So
and he was even maybe criticized by some of the new generation of the Arabs. Why, for example, do you sit with the Persians or like the Persians called as Ajam on that time? Okay.
That's one thing. Okay. Another thing that Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam had was the way that he treated, let's say, the laws.
Mm-hmm.
The way that he, himself, he would go himself. That's something very nice.
Very good.
The ruler himself entering the marketplace
mm-hmm.
and shouting the Islamic laws,
mm-hmm.
reminding the people. As a normal person in society, when I look at this, I see that the king, the ruler, the caliph, whoever is in charge, yes. coming and into the marketplace to supervise himself, I feel justice will be served.
Very good.
Especially if it's a character like Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. When I see such a character taking charge, I know that there's justice in society.
That's right.
And not only justice, mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam was very merciful. He was very merciful, and the way that he used to treat the poor, the people in yes. need. And Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam was not only a caliph, he was also a farmer at the time.
Yes.
And no one can deny the fact that he himself had fields, crops, where he used yes. to take care of.
Yes.
He was busy with his worships. He was busy with his crops. He was busy with his family. He was busy with the wars. And still, Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, this is still really just...
Yes.
He used to pray 1,000 rak'ahs one day. That's the character of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam.
A comprehensive character. But these aspects of the life of Amir al-Mu'minin is neglected by the majority of the historians.
That's on us. It's really no one's fault except us. We don't read. We don't want to mm-hmm. know Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. Okay. We just claim that we love Amir al-Mu'minin. Yes. His words are between our hands. That's Alhamdulillah, right. Programs are available, websites are available. All the books, they're translated in various languages.
Yes.
Let's read. Let's look at the life of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. Let's see how he lived his life. Let's mm-hmm. see how his characteristics was.
That's right.
And when we read, if we truly love Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, we will take it.
Mm-hmm.
These are the words. This is Nahj al-Balagha. Yes. These are the words of your imam.
Yes.
You want to be with your imam. You want to live with your imam. Read these words.
Okay, that's all right. Thank you much, Brother Habib and Sheikh Rouhani.
Thank you very much.
For your presence in the program, Viewpoints, talking about Imam Ali's role in establishing unity based on the system of the value among all Muslims all across the world. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن
Food for thought.
Salam, dear friends, and how about some mind-stimulating words from Imam Ali al-Hadi, peace upon him, whose birthday we marked yesterday. Do not feel secure from those who disgrace their own personalities.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Children in Qatar are helping a conservation program revive the population of a critically endangered species of turtles. The children help release the baby turtles after they hatch, which usually takes place during the dark hours of the evening. The hawksbill mothers are cared for, if needed, when they arrive at the beach to lay their eggs. When the little turtles emerge, the weaker ones are taken to facilities at the foundation. There they are cared for until they are strong enough to be returned to sea. Program managers say getting children involved helps raise awareness about the endangered species and how they can help prevent some of the challenges these turtles face.
As adults, we are kind of beyond hope. Our brain is no longer plastic. We can't really learn new things. But children have the power to really internalize all these things that they're learning, that they're seeing. They make these habits part of their life. They make decisions based on, is it good for the environment, alongside with economic value for money kind of decisions. And this is what we want to cultivate.
The children also get a chance to form bonds with the hawksbill turtles. Some of them have even named the one they are going to release. That's why life experts with the conservation program say only 1% of every 1,000 hatchlings make it to adulthood. Poaching, climate change, fishing nets and marine pollution have all contributed to the dwindling numbers of the species. The program was launched roughly a decade ago and has released 30,000 hatchlings into the sea in the last 5 years. Experts are optimistic about the success of the program.
The more scientists make progress in space exploration, the more they get persuaded to delve into the mysteries of the universe. Now, the release of stunning full-color images from deep in the cosmos has put astronomers on the edge of their seats. NASA has unveiled high-resolution pictures from its James Webb telescope, which is the largest space-based observatory ever launched. The images took 2 weeks to render from raw telescope data. The $9 billion infrared James Webb was launched on Christmas in 2021. It reached its destination in solar orbit nearly 1 million miles from Earth a month later. Then the telescope underwent months-long process to unfurl all of its components. James Webb is now finely tuned and fully focused. The telescope is expected to shed light on the life cycles on planets of planets and galaxies.
The International Fajr Fashion and Clothing Festival has drawn fashion designers from Iran and around the world. The designs displayed are trendy and at the same time they conform to the Islamic dress code. Yusuf Jalali has this report.
It's the Iranian fashion's biggest day. The 11th Fajr Fashion and Clothing Festival brought under one roof fashion designers from across Iran and some other Muslim nations to step up their designs.
I have participated here as a fashion designer. I am so happy to be a part of this event because it acts as a platform that links designers to producers. and it's helped like promote quality design in the market.
This festival is a major event in the Islamic world's fashion industry because it helps promote fashionable clothes that conform to Islamic guidelines.
A typical Iranian woman wears a button-up coat called manto and a scarf covering the head. Some others wear a piece of cloth called chador, which covers the body from head to toe. One of the challenges Iranian fashion designers have to deal with is to tailor their designs to Islamic dress code or hijab, while keeping them trendy.
Clothes represent the identity of a nation. As a designer, my mission is to design clothes that best represent the dresser's nationality and their culture. At the same time, the aesthetic aspect of the garment need to catch the attention. I think this is an ultimate artistry if accomplished.
Smuggling is another persisting problem in the Iranian clothing industry. Out of the $8 billion annual turnover of Iran's garment industry, a whopping $5 billion is supplied through smuggling, say activists here. Experts say one of the reasons smuggling has the lion's share in Iran's clothing market is that it's more cost-effective to import foreign clothes rather than produce them domestically.
We are making our best efforts to push down the production costs, including the associated taxes, in order to promote designs that reflect our Islamic and Iranian identities, opposed to Western designs that seek to dominate global markets.
With all the actors in Iran's fashion industry present in the Fajr Festival, the event is seen as a place to highlight and address the challenges with the aim to provide the stage for Iranian fashion activists to shine in the domestic market.
It might seem contradictory when we would associate fashion with the Islamic dress code. What is the art of a fashion designer that sews traditions to style and designs clothes that are both stylish and hijab? Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Elephants are the largest living animals on Earth that, in many cultures, are associated with good luck, wisdom, and fertility. But their overpopulation has become a matter of concern in the southeastern African nation of Malawi.
We want to reduce the population of elephants in this park, in Luanda National Park, because currently we have 600 plus elephants in this park. We would be comfortable, ecologically speaking, that is, to have 300 elephants in this park.
Officials say they will relocate 250 elephants from a national park in a southern town to another park by the end of July. They say the plan is part of a national conservation initiative to maintain healthy habitats in the country's national parks. Establishing viable elephant populations and ensuring the prosperity of local communities around the parks are said to be the other aspects. Residents say the elephants often stray into their gardens and damage their crops. Authorities had relocated some 300 elephants from the same town in 2019.
A zoo in Mexico City celebrates the birthday of two very special residents, bringing cheers and excitement to visitors. Chinese pandas Xin Xin and Xuan Xuan have turned 35 and 33, becoming the oldest pandas in human captivity. China gifted their ancestors to Mexico back in 1975 to boost the relationships between the two countries. Later on, and thanks to the hard work of caretaker teams, 8 cubs were born from the parents. Zoo officials say for them, learning the A to Z of panda care was a long journey.
The pandas living in Chapultepec, Xuan Xuan and Jin Jin, turned 35 and 33 years old, respectively. When their parents arrived, we didn't know much about pandas, so vets and biologists had to follow recommendations from those who took care of giant pandas in the People's Republic of China. From then on, we evolved. We found new and better diets and daily care practices such as vaccine administration or parasite removal. Then they started to breed, which was quite a success since it was the first panda that was born and which survived named Toy.
The birthday celebration has coincided with the zoo's 99th foundation anniversary. A panda's normal lifespan is estimated at about 15 to 20 years for those out in nature and about 30 years for the ones in human care. But the good news is, despite their old age, Xuan Xuan and Xin Xin are in perfectly good shape. A goat in the Pakistani city of Karachi has made the headlines for its not-so-ordinary looks. The animal owns strikingly long ears. Simba was only born last month, and his ears have already reached the length of 54 centimeters. The goat's breeder, Muhammad Hassan Narejo, says he has approached Guinness World Records to see if Simba can be included as the greatest of all time, or the goat, for this peculiar feature. The kid is in the center of attention, so he receives all sorts of help to live a smoother life. This includes a special harness for his ears and daily religious rituals to wish him good health. The breeder says that by promoting Simba's image, he is trying to introduce Pakistan as a major goat breeding nation.
The sky is the limit for wind sports in Iraq's Kurdistan region, as members of the paragliding team launched into the sunset. Tourists have also come to watch team members bravely run towards the edge of the cliff of Mount Asmar. They usually take off facing the west to catch the sunset and then glide down towards the gray green meadows. The windy landscape around Iraq's northeastern city of Sulaymaniyah is a hot spot for paragliding. Participants of the sport say it requires a lot of physical strength and mental concentration. Some say their favorite aspect of the activity is the intense silence when flying high above the ground. A young British artist has found an incredible way to create art using not pen or paper, but typewriter. Symbols and letters are turned into complex drawings by this 25-year-old's adept fingers, gaining him attention online. London-based James Cork, who studied architecture, used to draw portraits. But that all changed when he discovered his now signature tool, the typewriter, in 2014. He says the idea came to his mind when he came across Paul Smith, an artist from the 1920s who produced similar work. Initially, Cook thought it impossible, but he gave it a try. Now, after 8 years, he can draw complex images from Hollywood star Tom Hanks to the London Eye or the Millennium Bill. But while his works appear flawless to viewers, Cook says it never gets any easier and that it's always a challenge for him.
There's something really satisfying about kind of using this sort of limited palette of, you basically have about 44 keys on a typewriter on average. So you've got to kind of puzzle piece those letters, numbers, punctuation marks together to make a drawing.
Recently, online interest has encouraged Cook to pursue his passion. People donate their typewriters to Cook, who gives these machines a second life. He now has a collection of more than 40 typewriters dating from the early 20s.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Almighty. Dear brothers, dear sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic for this episode is Eid al-Qadir, Greatest Eid of Allah. Today, Saturday, is the 16th of Zilhijjah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of July, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to chapter 5 of the Holy Quran, verse 55.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون.
Your ally is none but Allah, and therefore His Messenger and those who have believed, those who establish prayer and give zakah, and they bow in worship.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Islam is the religion of both association and disassociation, that is attraction and repulsion or polarization. In the previous verses, the Jews and the Christians were prohibited to be chosen as masters. Here in this verse, I mean verse 55 of chapter 5, the commandment is that we take and follow Allah, His Messenger, and Imam Ali, peace be upon him, as our masters. The essence of mastership of Allah, the Messenger, and Imam Ali, peace be upon him, is the same, and it is essentially one in nature as well as in effect.
أسعد حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي.
عيد القدير, greatest Eid of Allah. You are with today's special. We're speaking about Qadir. Qadir is an important historical event. In many of his books, Allama Amini cited tens of Sunni sources that narrate Qadir the way Shia do. Qadir has not just been narrated in our books. Some people may disagree about the meaning of Mawla, but Qadir was a historical event that established a criterion for leadership. It is obvious to all Muslims that Imam Ali was a peak of perfection. Qadir has not just been narrated in our books. Qadir is a source of unity for the Islamic Ummah. Some people should not assume that Qadir is a source of discord. Today, Shia Muslims are being accused more than the past. Shia Islam is rooted in a correct, healthy, and pure belief in divine revelations. Shia Islam means being committed to the values and Quranic criteria. Some people may talk nonsense and accuse Shia Islam of something that has nothing to do with it. They may claim that Shia Islam is political in nature and that it has been added to Islam later on. Qadir invalidates all these claims. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astain.
In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to disseminate the news and message of Qadir Khum. In this way, we understand that Imam Amir al-Mu'minin as-Salam wasn't just a political leader, or rather, Imam Amir al-Mu'minin as-Salam was in fact a reliable exegete of the Holy Quran, a reliable interpreter of the Holy Quran. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated, "Man kuntu mawlahu fa hadha aliyyun mawlahu." Whoever I've been his lord, this Ali, that is Imam Ali alayhi salam, is his lord after me. And indicated, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated that following him and regarding him as your leader has been asserted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by God it was asserted. So we find that in this connection, the word Mawla indicates guardianship and leadership, I mean, in its most comprehensive and umbrella term. Connected with this assertion, it must be indicated that those people who came after Imam Ali alayhi salam, and especially, particularly, those people, even amongst the noble and noteworthy Sunni exegetes and Sunni scholars of Islamic studies, we find that in the works and in the assertions, they asserted that the meaning of Mawla in this regard finds expression in the personality of none but Imam Amir al-Mu'minin as-Salam. And Mawla is a cover term. I mean, it's an umbrella term. It doesn't merely mean, for example, religious leadership. No, it entails leadership in all its contexts and in all its capacities, whether, for example, whether political leadership or, let's say, religious leadership or whatsoever. If you want to find out, okay, who is the ultimate leader next to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the world of Islam, the answer is that this personality is none but Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam.
اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا.
This day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have chosen for you Islam as your religion.
الله مولاي وأنا مولى المؤمنين. ألا من كنت مولاه فهذا علي مولاه. اللهم وال من والاه وعاد من عاداه. أيها الناس الحق دائما مع علي وعلي مع الحق.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're speaking about the status of Eid al-Qadir, an incomparable Eid. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has said, "Surely this is a highly recognized day. On it the succor was brought, and the station of the one who was worthy of it was evaluated, and the proofs of Allah were made manifest. This is the day when from a pure station words were clearly and straightforwardly stated, and this is the day of the completion of the religion and the day when the promise and pact were taken. One of the four divinely appointed Eids is Eid al-Qadir." Abu Abdullah Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, has said, "When the day of judgment comes about, 4 days shall hasten towards Allah, the noble and grand, just as a bride hastens towards her bridal chamber. The day of Al-Fitr, the day of Al-Adha, the day of Jum'ah, and the day of Qadir Khum."
Alhamdulillahilladhi ja'alana min al-mutamassikin
biwilayati
Ali ibn Abi Talib
biwilayati
Ali ibn Abi Talib
والأئمة المعصومين عليهم السلام.
Acts of Imam Ali that prove politics and the ethics can be combined. Imam Ali would not treat all his opponents the same. Imam Ali did not behave in the same way towards all of his opponents and enemies. He did not use the same method for all of them. He differentiates between different individuals. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, stood firm against the faithless, Khawarij. Of course, he stood up against their deviations, not them themselves. He stood against Muawiyah as well. When they put the Holy Quran on their spears, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, said, "By Allah, this is a trick and deception. They do not believe in the Holy Quran." And when Khawarij confronted him with their reliance on the outward aspects of religion, they recited the Holy Quran in a plaintive and sad tone in front of the commander of the faithful, Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him. Hazrat stood up against them.
The Imam speaks about religious poverty. The one who has abandoned his religion, who has abandoned his religious obligations. In the eyes of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, this person is poor. He could have all the money in the world, but if he's abandoned God, he doesn't have a good relationship with God, he's not obeying the commands of God, this person is poor. What does he have? What has he prepared for his akhirah, for the hereafter? What does he have? This person is poor. In the hadith, the Imam alayhi salam says, "Al-faqru sawadul wajhi fi ad-darain." The Imam alayhi salam says, the real poverty is to be miserable in this world and on the day of judgment. And the one who neglects religious values, believe me, brothers and sisters, this person will be miserable in this world and on the day of judgment. Our religious values enrich us. They enrich our spirit. One day, a poor man walked to visit Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. His face was gloomy, he was upset. The Imam realized, this man, there's something wrong with him. The Imam alayhi salam asked him, "What's wrong with you?" He was one of the companions of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He told him, "Oh Imam, you know I'm poor. Financially, I'm struggling, I'm going through problems. And I'm just not in a good mood, not in a good state." The Imam alayhi salam asked him an interesting question. The Imam told him, "This faith that you have, the iman that you have, the wilaya that you have, are you willing to sell it, if you could, theoretically, are you willing to sell it for 100,000 golden coins, dinars? Are you willing or no?" Now, he was a faithful man, a good believer. He said, "No, of course not. I'm not willing." The Imam alayhi salam tells him, "Are you sure?" He says, "Yes, I'm sure. I'm not willing." The Imam alayhi salam tells him, "How can you claim that you're poor when you own something that's worth 100,000 golden coins and you're not willing to sell it?"
That was all from today's special. And for this episode, we spoke about Eid al-Qadir, greatest Eid of Allah. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi aman Allah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Ali Imami.
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.